Right. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Spiritual Table Talk. We kind of started a bit of this talk in the last podcast before making it a separate one. So we're talking about forgiveness and whether or not people can forgive, a lot of other stuff probably in this whole topic. And you can subscribe Apple iTunes, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or your favorite podcast app. So continuing on from the last.
I was going to say, I don't think people are capable of forgiveness. So when we talk about forgiveness, we usually mean, when people talk about it, they usually mean as if it didn't happen, right? Either because somebody's forgotten about it, or the effects have been wiped away, or the whatever. And I really don't think that that is a human quality. And I don't think it's a human quality for a lot of reasons, but one of the most important is that we don't live like that, typically, as people. We live very much in our memory of the past. We live very much in our expectations of the future. So I don't think that really forgiveness is anything that people can really do. I think that forgiveness is entirely divine, and it's actually reliant on another concept that we've talked about, and that is that actual love. And I don't mean like, oh, I really like this person, or oh, I care for my children, or whatever. I mean divine love is a current and does not belong to the individual. And I think that forgiveness is related to that, in that we don't forget, typically. The side effects do linger in our imaginations, because we remember, and we think about it, and we plan around it. But love, as a current, and as particularly a divine force, because it does not belong to the individual, isn't hung up on our imagination of the past, and isn't hung up on our expectations of the future. And in that current is the only place I see anything resembling forgiveness happening for people.
I agree. In the words of one of the nuns.
Oh no.
From Sister Act. Okay. Is basically, to sin is human, to forgive is divine. Forgiveness really sits in the realm of one of the divine powers. Because to truly forgive in that divine sense means not only forgive, let it go, but also to really forget, meaning act as if it never happened. If the person is able to tap into the true self, the divine self, the eternal self, that peace which is divine, forgiveness can come through from that current of love. Forgiveness can come through. But if the person is more than the divine being within him, then he will not be able to forgive. Truly, truly forgive. If the person is in alignment with that true self and that divine part, if it's stronger than the person, can wash the other issue out. And then if it washes that issue out, even though the person may remember what physically occurred, that memory isn't lodged in that. They're not mentally playing with it. They're not preparing for it to happen again. They don't move any differently. They don't change the way that they are, basically, because now I know this about this person. They're just as free and open as they were previously.
That's why I, and bring it back to another podcast, that's really why I think there has to be a spiritual teacher involved in the concept of responsibility for you, especially initially, because so many of the ways that we want to talk about responsibility boil down to guilt and blame and other things that are kind of mechanisms both for dealing with people's emotions, for justifying them, or for telling people what emotions they're allowed to have, but also because we don't see anything else without it.
Exactly.
Like, we really can't see forgiveness, or for that matter, love. Because let me tell you, a lot of what people are calling love, I don't know about that.
No, because what many people refer to as love is human versions of love.
Possession.
Exactly. Our possessions, our human version of love is possession, but even love without possession on a human version still is not quite the same as divine love. So, and the reason I say this, because the other things I'm about to say are actually just a few more actual examples of possession, but the problem with words is they're so
bad at communicating.
Yeah, that's the best words for it, is that they're bad at communicating, because we can say a word and there's like the common definition, the connotation that carries, depending on who and where is who's listening. But then there's also like the personal interpretation of that word and everything that it means. So expectation is a form of possession. But in order to clarify what I'm speaking with everyone listening, I'm going to let you know that expectation is often seen as something separate. But really, expectation is a form of possession. So human love usually is based on various forms of possession, or possession that manifests in different ways that you think are totally different than possession. When people often think of the word possession, they think of like holding something right away. They don't think of like having expectations of someone is a form of possessing them.
Sure, you can turn them into a paper doll in your head and play out little scenarios, right?
Absolutely.
And that's how you own them.
Exactly. And so then when they don't move with that paper doll version, then you get upset. And when they do, you get happy and either reward or praise them or encourage one behavior. And then with your anger, upsetness, etc., discourage the other.
We had a discussion about this once, and that keeps coming back to mind, right? And it's that there's no offense in divine love, because nothing you can do to divine love can harm it.
Exactly.
And I think that's important too on the topic of forgiveness, because nothing... Just to take it to the ridiculous, there's nothing I can do to God, okay, that could possibly cause God any harm. There's nothing I could think of or say. And there's nothing that I could possibly do. So there's no need for, and I'm going to bring up the Christians again. I'm sorry. That's where my background is.
Well, it's part of the major background within this country, so it's the most relatable to most anyway.
Right. So the Christians have this whole divine forgiveness through suffering thing that they do, right? At least the way I was raised with it. It was, we're forgiven because God picked somebody and had them tortured to death. And that's how God shows love, right?
Yeah.
And it's that very human idea that you can somehow offend the divine by being unworthy, and that offense has to be punished, right? And then you can have forgiveness.
Absolutely. It starts with the first fallacy. The first fallacy is that you understand the divine. And that you understand the divine, and that the divine operates like you. So the first fallacy is to kind of like come to this programmed idea of what is the divine and your understanding of the divine. Once you think you understand, then we have like the ripple effect of you can offend God. That's kind of ludicrous. It's not kind of, it's just ludicrous. Because that automatically implies that you could do anything that was not created or moved forward by the divine to begin with.
And that kind of love is really broad spectrum too, because I feel like that has to come up again if we're talking about the Christians or really any of the books of religions of the book. So Abrahamic and Christians and Islam, right?
Mm-hmm. Hinduism.
Yeah, anytime you start breaking it down like that, you quickly run into a God that suddenly resembles people's expectations or suddenly resembles their desires or is kind of a piece of them written larger and needs the same forgiveness or punishment or whatnot that they do.
Yeah, as I explain this in a different way, is the God of the starving and poor is rich and fat. The God of the fat and rich is starving and poor. That's why in religions where people have more, religious service is starvation and being somehow vows of poverty, trying to make yourself poor. In religions where people have less, it's all about abundance and having more. And just because I pick on everything without prejudice, okay? This is why in the Vodou religion, the religious side of it, right? Where people have that religion evolved with people who had less, it's all about giving these huge feasts. And these feasts of the divine, and food, and eating together, and all of that. But if you go where people had enough, then if they had enough to survive, then their religion, like in Christianity, it's like fasting, and so on and so forth. So,
from time to time, when I read the news, which is itself a problem, I find myself contemplating the fact that divine love applies just as much to me as it does to people with whom I have ideological differences, let's put it that way. Like, that love is available for everything and everybody, and does not distinguish, does not need to punish, does not need to... Really, I'm not sure that it needs to forgive either, because no offense was made.
Well, that's why I did a short little TikTok about, like, God can't forgive you. To forgive you means he had to blame you. You can't forgive if you never blamed. Forgiveness requires somebody blaming somebody first. Then you can forgive them. But if you never blamed the person, then you can't forgive them. So to seek forgiveness is futile, because to seek forgiveness from the divine who has not acknowledged an offense. If the divine was never offended, there's no way that the divine could forgive. However, forgiveness comes in play when we take that divine power within the person who does blame. Therefore, since the human blames, there has to be a capacity to neutralize that blame. Therefore, when that person is in that divine power, the power to quote unquote forgive comes along. But it's not even an act of forgiveness. It's just more of a, I don't even have a word for it. It's more of a non-act.
It strikes me sometimes when I watch the Dalai in possession, in ceremonies, how much of it is for us. And I think that's, this is another case of things for us, because we need them, or we think we do, and it's the shortest way to get us through something. It, I don't know, a lot of what I see in ceremony is really has more to do with things we feel like we need to see.
True. A lot of it is more for the people than it is for the loi. This is part of the reason that, like, we occasionally do, and there's reasons for, at times, doing, like, what we call private ceremony, that are not as open to having as many people around. But, like, if you notice in the temple, for a vast majority, a lot of our ceremonies are quite open to the public, people in the public can come, et cetera, et cetera. Because in our tradition, we say, like, basically the loi come to help and to bless people. So the more people that the loi has had the opportunity to interact with, cleanse, bless, help, basically that's the service.
So, love is for all of us, and forgiveness is because we don't believe in love.
Exactly. And if you have love, it automatically forgives and also wipes out the need to forgive. It forgives that which is stuck. But once it does, it's not an act. It's not, forgiveness is not something you can do. It's something that happens to you. That actually brings me another podcast topic idea, but that'll be a separate podcast, and we'll just write down the idea. Any last closing notes?
Just a reminder that love is for all of us.
Absolutely. Ay, Bobo, gracias a la misericordia. So, as always, subscribe to the podcast on Google Podcasts, Apple iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcast app. I'm so used to naming the other one. It doesn't exist anymore. And,
RIP Anchor.
Yeah, RIP Anchor. They got bought out by Spotify. And if you like to make a donation to the temple, Cash App, $ Hector Salva, or PayPal, help@mysticalwork.com. Many blessings today and always.